So the other announcement as well is that we're also going to launch, well, another style of content for this channel as well. So if you, any of you have looked at our website, you would have seen this. So Nation of Israel. So that will be the actual name of the subsequent or the next coming style of content we're going to launch for this channel. So what are you looking at here? Well, essentially we're looking at, I guess, a modern rendition of Aaron's breastplate. So this is actually a breastplate. It's actually mounted on a plate of gold. And these are all of the stones that Yeshua mandated or prescribed to Moses that were to actually be placed or to be held in ouches, I think it's described. So in kind of clasps to a breastplate that Aaron was then to wear in order to actually bear, I guess, both the burden and also the heart and the concern for the peoples of Israel on his heart at all times, as his duty and responsibility as high priest for that nation. So each stone represents a specific tribe. So Judah here is represented by the diamond, you can see, in the second along from the top. So each of these actual stones represents a unique tribe. And of course, also the actual quality of the stone as well, I guess also denotes or predicts certain qualities as well for that tribe as well, as you're always trying to actually convey in actual creation of this breastplate. So I won't come to talk too much about the breastplate at the moment and what the actual qualities of the stones to actually mandate or prescribe. We'll actually do that in one of the actual first sessions we'll actually hold for Nation of Israel. But what is Nation of Israel essentially going to be? Well, essentially, it's going to be one that's focused purely on, I guess, repentance and on Yeshurite spirituality, really. So we will have some teachings on the word. We're going to be very much focused around, more around prayer, and also more around, well, really determining or understanding what our duty and moral responsibility is really to be, in terms of how we apply ourselves to the word and how we walk correctly in the law of God's truth. And it's just as much a journey as well for me. I think we're all, as Yeshurites, really trying to figure this out. But I mean, I have often said that in some ways, I think the level of spirituality in some of the Yeshurite churches and groups we are currently seeing could be higher, really. I don't really see much in terms of much move of the Holy Spirit or gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in many of those actual gatherings. You have to recall that Israel is very, very much called to be a nation of signs and wonders as well. Because, of course, after all, we serve a God who fed a prophet whereby ravens for 3 years by a brook. He divided the Red Sea into parts. He sent fire riders out to destroy all of Israel's enemies, so that the enemies will all fall into the ground before the armies even got to the battleground, and they had no need to fight. And we serve a God also who, well, defeated all the Midianite kings, Oreb, Zeb, Zebra, and Zalmunna, if you remember, by the hand of Gideon. So Gideon went out to fight armies of tens of thousands of men with only 300 men. And if you recall, in one particular notable battle, he didn't take swords or weapons at all, but took torches, flaming torches concealed in pottery jars, and trumpets to blow an alarm of war. So just 300 men armed with trumpets and flaming torches actually attacked and defeated a whole garrison, or the headquarters or the barracks of the enemy, and totally destroyed and decimated it, totally defeating the enemies. So all, of course, by the hand of God. And Yahweh has very much said that he won't save Israel by sword or by spear. That's not to be the mode of Israel's deliverance, but Israel's deliverance is to be by the Lord her God. So that being the case, it really does behove us, really, to commit ourselves, really, to, again, I guess, getting more of an understanding and getting more in tune with the Spirit of God, and let it be led by the Holy Spirit, really, and to trust Yahuwah in this way, and really to yearn for him to pour out his Spirit upon us, because he's promised really to pour out, well, firstly, a spirit of supplication and graces upon Israel in the latter days, in order to draw and to woo her to himself, in true repentance. So that's very much where we want to kind of go, or the kind of angle we want to take this particular channel to. So it won't be quite so much, it won't be kind of any political content on that channel really as such as well. So unlike Israel Diaspora Report, so the role of Israel Diaspora Report is to be more, well, slightly polemic, if you will, and to be quite a strident, robust voice around a number of things. And also to report on global and political events from both biblical and prophetic perspectives. So we're looking at the spiritual aspects, if you like, of world news and global events, particularly in relation to Israel, in terms of brown Israel. And I think that channel does do that quite well, but not a channel that is not kind of meant to be polemic around just pointing out mistakes and things that have gone wrong, because of course we know that historically many things have been done which aren't right. And it's not the aim at all to be rubbing someone's nose in that, to recall that also that Israel didn't do everything perfectly either, which is how we find ourselves where we find ourselves today. And I've been listening to the grapevine and people saying, well, you're just pointing out mistakes people have made in the past. That's not a right thing to do. Are you perfect? I'm not quite sure what to say to that, because number one, the church is really meant to be a strident voice in speaking out about things that are not in alignment with God's will. And really, I think the church has to, well, accept a certain amount of accountability, really, for the fact that they have grown quiet in denouncing and taking a stand in many areas. I mean, certainly in the West, we see that the church, we have become so compromised in wanting to just accept everyone and everything that it really, well, to a very large extent, was just becoming totally irrelevant to the culture. With the result that everything was just going into bondage. So perhaps what we're actually seeing, the unfolding of, is Yahuwah raising up stones to say that some of the things that need to be said. Because what starts to happen when people don't make a stand for the truth is that truth then becomes weaponized. And you then have a situation of cancel culture where people who wanted to speak out find that they're unable to do so freely. So that is what you're actually agreeing to when you make a compromise in not standing for truth. So perhaps what we're actually seeing, the unfolding of, is Yahuwah raising up stones to say that some of the things that need to be said. And it's not the aim of at all to be critical. But as I've said, I guess it's summarizing what we say, including every video. Because of course we end each video by saying, you and I, we are the repairers of the breach, as per Isaiah 58:12, because it's up to us. Hashtag, we will restore his paths. So there's an entreaty really encoded, I guess, in all of that to say, well, this is what has happened historically, but the future really is ours. We have a chance to think differently and to approach things differently and to do things in a different way. Are we going to change the actual patterns of the past, or are we going to hold to the patterns of the past? Because if you are holding to things, I guess, of the past, then you're really saying in a sense, well, that you haven't really stood aside or stood apart from, I guess, things that have gone on historically that your forefathers have done. And so you're entering into that whole cycle again. But as I say, we have an opportunity, because the future is ours, to think differently and to do things differently. I mean, on one hand, I wonder if it might not be too late, to be honest, because, as I say, a lot of water has gone under the bridge and a lot of time has been given for, well, various responses to be made to various things. But I'm not really confident that really has, well, we have really done as much as we could have done. And in fact, this is now, well, becoming a significant problem, really. Because as I say, we consequently see that we are in a cycle in which a number of the things that happened in the past, some quite egregious things, are almost in danger of recurring in some form, as we've come to see in the MAGA series that we're looking at currently on our sister channel, Israel Diaspora Report. But I will come on to talk more about that, possibly in that series as well, because it's now going to force us into the uncomfortable position of now having to understand how we either recalibrate our position or what our stance really now needs to be. Well, we can see really how things are unfolding. I don't want to digress too much now by going into that subject matter today. So coming back really to this announcement, we'll be launching another channel called The Nation of Israel, and that will look really at Yashalite spirituality, really, and understanding what that should be, because certainly for Repairers of the Breach, we are a spirit-filled or a spirit-led community. So we do believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, prophecy and interpretation as well. So we do believe in all of the prophetic gifts, although I think that's evident because, of course, for both of our channels, Israel Diaspora Report and this current channel, are also prophetic channels. We do look at biblical prophecy and the unfolding of biblical prophecy, even against the historical secular record as well, which does verify that, of course, we know God's word is true, but we see it in complete relief, really. Because we do align the history to the word of God in many of our sessions. To really show how accurate the word of God really is. So yes, to come back to this breastplate. So, as I say, it is all of the actual stones that Yahuwah mandated to Moses on a plain plate of gold. So it's just a modern rendition, essentially, of Aaron's breastplate. Because, of course, Aaron's breastplate had clasps or ouches that actually held the stones in. But this just has the stones themselves, all kind of crafted to the same size and shape, on a plate of gold. And then also, I've overlaid it with Israel's colours. So the colours that are actually overlaying, you see there are four separate colours. It's a little difficult to see some of them because, as I say, they are overlaid over a gold background, which changes the colour slightly. But of course, Yahuwah told Moses that the colours for Israel were to be red or scarlet, representing blood or sacrifice, blue, representing heaven or divinity, and also purple, representing royalty, and also white, representing purity. So seven colours were prescribed for Israel, and of course, it's to be surrounded by a band of silver, a border of silver, as you can see, going around the outside, and also overlaid on a plate of gold as well, as we've said. You'll notice that we also have a flame of fire, or a tongue of fire, in the centre of the O. Really, because we are currently in Holy Ghost season, as I said, we are currently on the countdown to the Shavuot, or the Day of Pentecost, which, as you recall, we've explained in previous years, coincides on the same day as the Sinaitic Revelation. So just 50 days after Israel came out of her first Egypt, if you recall, Yahuwah comes down to meet with them on Sinai. And the whole mountain is all smoke that day, and the earth is quaking quite violently. And the long and short of it is that the culmination of that event, they do agree to be the people of God. And of course, Moses takes the blood of a sacrifice, sprinkles the people with that blood, and then conjoins them to the covenant. And that really was the moment in which we, you and I today, also became conjoined to the covenant, because the covenant that was made with our forefathers on that day is binding to all generations, all subsequent generations of Israel. So the flame there is really to symbolize the remembrance that we are currently in our 50-day countdown to the Shavuot, or the Day of Pentecost, which is the same day as the Sinaitic Revelation occurred well over 1,000 years before. it's roughly about 1,250 years before, around about that, to the very, very day that the Sinaitic revelation occurred on the same day as the day of Pentecost.